No, we're not talking about transferring the apostasy to a new location. I'm not interested in that. No, you could say, well, you have a church at home. Gene Edwards used to do this. You remember Gene Edwards? Yeah, he said the best place to meet is the home, and it is, but he didn't change the doctrines. He thought the doctrines of the church were just fine. Eternal torment, free will, the Trinity, all that stuff. What difference does it make if you're teaching that stuff at a church or at home? You've just transferred the apostasy to a different zip code. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zunder. You've transferred it to a different location. What's the difference? You can teach doctrines of demons in the church, or you can teach them at your house. What difference does it make? Now, having said that, the home is where Paul's people met. And we're going to look at this. I'm on page 96 of Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins, Led Away from Homes, 2 Timothy 3. All right, I got to give the context. I know you've heard this. The last days, perilous periods will be present. But I'm leading up to a verse that we haven't gone into yet. But I'm leading up to it. 2 Timothy 3. Now, this know, that in the last days, that's where we are, you are here, perilous periods will be present, for humans will be selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, they'll be showy like peacocks. That's a peacock. No, maybe that's a peacock, I'm not sure. Proud, calumniators, stubborn appearance, ungrateful, malign, without natural affection, implacable, adversaries, uncontrollable, fierce, averse to the good, traitors, rash, conceited, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. Here's a definition of that following here. Having a form of devoutness yet denying its power. A form of devoutness. That's gratifying to the human, to look devout, to have everybody notice you as, what a good Christian. Oh, that man is such a fine believer. But no, it's a form of devoutness, yet it denies the power. None of the power is there, because they deny the power of God. The power of God to save, the power of Christ to die for the sins of humanity. These also shun. Now, look at verse 6. For of these are those who are slipping into homes and are leading into captivity little women heaped with sins. Oh, you're so sexist, Martin. I'm just reading the scripture. Little women heaped with sins, being led by various lusts and gratifications, always learning, and yet not at any time able to come into a realization of the truth. I think verse 8 is important too. Now, by the method by which Jannes and Jambres, these were the Egyptian magicians who imitated the staffs of Aaron. Staffs of Aaron became snakes. That was a pretty good trick. It wasn't a trick. It was a divine miracle. These guys imitated it by their sorcery. By the same method by which Jannes and Jambres withstand Moses, that is imitation, thus these also are withstanding the truth. Who also is withstanding the truth? Well, those who have a form of devoutness but deny the power, those who are slipping into homes and leading into captivity, little women heaped with sins, being led by various lusts and gratification. That's who. These are the ones withstanding the truth. They have a form of devoutness. They're always learning. They're in the realm of learning. They're in Christianity. Form of devoutness, yet denying the power. But these are humans of a depraved mind, disqualified as to the faith. These people, these little women, are going to be led by various lusts. Where will they be led to? They're going to be led away from the homes. How do I know that? Well, in this verse, it says that there are those who are slipping into homes. That's where ecclesia should be these days, in homes, and are leading into captivity little women heaped with sins. The home is the anchor, the foundation of God's operations. The home with a husband and a wife and children in subjection, a wife in subjection to a husband, to a loving, adoring, worshipful husband, and children in subjection to the mother and father. And we read in Romans 16:5 that Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house. And we learned that my favorite Bible person, well, one of them, Tryphena, had a ecclesia in her home, Colossians 4:15. So there's Priscilla and Aquila. There's Tryphena. Oh, no. Colossians 4:15 is Nympha. Yeah, I'm just stuck on Tryphena and Tryphosa. I love those two ladies, but, you know, it's Nympha that had the ecclesia in her home. You read about her in Colossians 4:15. The home is domestic, not institutional. We're looking at domestic. We're looking at a living, vital organism. You know, we have the body of Christ, the family of God. We also have a family in homes, and that's the pattern God gives us. It's so simple. God gives us a picture, a Sunday school lesson. Look at your own home. That's like the God's home. That's like God's home. We have a man who's the head of the home, just like Christ is head of the ecclesia. Get it? It's very simple. And Christ serves the ecclesia. We talked about this before. Christ washes the feet of the disciples, and a man should be washing the feet of his wife, literally kissing, washing, licking. You know, we talked about this before. This is all part of the great deal. It has to do with sex too. Okay, now you notice that Paul's talking about the last days of the body of Christ, and he's showing us that even in the last days, the ecclesia is to be in the home, and therefore spiritual warfare, which we're all the victims of now, is going to surround the abandonment of the domestic position, not only the ecclesia, but of the husband and the wife. They're going to abandon their God-given roles. They're going to abdicate these roles, and the result's going to be chaos and social anarchy. And the mess that we see today is because the home is being invaded by these other influences. These are the sorts of people, these people who seduce little women away from the home. All right, now it's interesting, Paul speaks specifically here, uses the phrase little women being led by various lusts and desires. Now, women, this is the part that won't be specifically politically correct. Oh, I just remember I was supposed to talk about something else today. I was going to really get politically incorrect today, and I forget what that was, but this is something completely different. Paul specifically speaks of women here. Women are especially vulnerable to the subtle pull of the religious system because they're more emotional than men. Generally speaking, there are exceptions. And this is why Satan approached Eve in the garden, because she was the one who could more easily be deceived by his slithering. He slithered and he moved and he captivated her. He attracted her emotionally to discuss spiritual matters with her. Now, many will say, and this is wrong, I'm not saying this, not me, no, I will not be on, I'm not on record as saying that women are naive. Nope, never said it, never will. They're not naive, because that's a negative slant on it. What they are, generally, is innocent. Eden was the era of innocence. Now, Adam was innocent also, but Eve was even more innocent. Now, this is actually giving her credit and giving all you lovely women out there credit. And this is why. Because an innocent person is not equipped to deal with the evil people, the deceivers of a wicked, perverted eon. All right? Women are pure and holy. But they're innocent, and they're generally not going to doubt a person. They're going to take people at their word. They're very good that way. That's what I mean by innocent. They're good that way. They're going to readily believe someone, but they shouldn't, not in a wicked eon. Women would be fabulous in a good eon when everybody's honest, because they believe everybody. Men are cynical. Men are more non-trusting. Men are more discerning. Men don't take things at face value. They look underneath the surface for an ulterior motive, and you can usually find it in a wicked eon. So men are more suited to lead in a wicked eon. And this is actually a credit to women that they're innocent. Now, I find that word innocent in Romans 16. Let's start with verse 17. Now, I'm entreating you then, brethren, to be noting those who are making dissensions. And it's these folks who have a form of devoutness, deny the power, who are ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They're the ones who are leading women from the home into the churches. Women love to go to church, and a lot of women are leading their husbands. A lot of wives are leading their husbands into church. I've heard this so many times that women are the ones, and the men are just caving. Well, okay, if it makes you happy, dear, where's your gonads? You're the leader of your home, and you're supposed to be the discerning one. But women are taking over the home, and it's so easy for them to be led away. I made mistakes in this category. Now, I'm a very worshipful man, and I worship the women that I'm with, but that with that cannot come an abdication of divine responsibilities, of spiritual responsibilities to be the head of the home as Christ is the head of the ecclesia. So, but there are those making dissensions. The word dissension in the Greek is dikostasia, which means two stands, somebody that has two stands. Well, it could be this, could be that, you know, and people love that. It's called political correctness. Well, you're right, and you're right too. You know, and women love to do this. You're right, but you're right too, because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. Men were more cut and dry. Well, this guy's right and this guy's wrong. That's the way it should be. That's why we need to be the leaders of the home, because we need to be able to discern what is wrong, who is lying, who the bullcrapper is. We need to be able to tell that. But these people making dissensions are also making snares, verse 17 of Romans 16. And these kinds of people, for our Lord, are not slaving, but for their own bowels. That is, for their own lusts, their own desires. And in the whole context here, we're talking about religious lusts and religious desires. And through compliments and adulation are deluding the hearts of the innocent. Romans 16:18, deluding the hearts of the innocent. This is what the adversary did to Eve. He deluded the heart of an innocent. And the innocent was Eve. Deluded her. She was deluded. Adam was not, because she was innocent. Innocent, not naive, innocent. This word is great in the Greek, is akakon, A-K-A-K-O-N. It's unevil. Those are the elements in English. Unevil, not evil. Women are not evil. And because they're not evil, it's hard for them to discern evil. They're too trusting. They want to make everybody feel good. And this is a very dangerous disposition to have in a wicked eon, which we're in Galatians 1:4. I got more to say on this. What is today? Holy Moses, it's Friday. I can't say it until Monday. So hopefully I'll find out what I didn't say today that I was supposed to say that I told you I was going to say. In the meantime, I hope that what I did say helped you. And tomorrow I'm going to be talking more about the family and more about how women, never mind. I'll get to it when I get to it.